What do you think?
I think we're dead meat. Real dead meat.
You're dead meat! Go ahead and laugh, you guys. If I ever find a little passage of business, you're dead meat.
Welcome to the Dead Meat Podcast, an extension of the YouTube channel Dead Meat. I'm James.
I'm Chelsea, and we're a boyfriend and girlfriend, and we like to get scared together.
Yeah. Even if the movies that we're reviewing aren't necessarily scary. Because today we're looking at The First Purge.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, it's
the
one of those.
The implications are scary.
Yeah. It's scary on a societal level.
Ethically scary.
Mm-hmm. Yes. First Purge just came out on 4th of July, a week ago today. So, yep, you're getting a fresh, hot review on this movie. hey, you know what? We gave you a week to see it so that you could see it and then listen to this without worrying about being spoiled.
Exactly.
So you're welcome.
We are going to spoil the entire thing.
Yeah. We'll do a spoiler-free review first for anyone who maybe hasn't seen it but wants to hear our thoughts, some vague thoughts, just hear our thoughts about it. We'll do that. And then we'll get into the nitty-gritty, talk about it with all the spoilers in there.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be fun. So The First Purge. I just finished covering the Purge series on the Kill Count, meaning got real deep in there. You watched all those movies with me. And I think we both felt the same way about the series as a whole.
It's fine.
Yeah. It's I've never felt more nothing towards a series than The Purge.
Yeah.
I don't dislike it at all. I don't. Love it. I guess it's a little bit on the positive side for me.
Same.
Mm-hmm.
I have really weird, complicated feelings about the Purge movies because I don't think they're that great, but they're not bad. They're weird. They're right in the middle. But I do think it's nuts that this is a series that Blumhouse keeps putting out. Is a big series for them.
Mm-hmm. It's very profitable.
Yeah, big money maker. So it's essentially it's a tentpole series for them. And I just think it's nuts that this is a franchise that deals with the stuff that it does and has the cast that it does, and it makes so much money and is a mainstream thing. I think most people know.
Everyone knows the Purge.
Even if they haven't seen it, it's a reference that people understand. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's pretty mainstream conversation.
Absolutely. This is a concept that has completely permeated society and pop culture, and you can reference The Purge and everyone will know what you're talking about.
It's yeah.
Like the night of lawlessness where anything goes.
Yeah. And I think it might just be because of the fact that horror doesn't get the attention that other genres necessarily do, that there's this series that has so much stuff jam-packed in it in terms of politics and social commentary and stuff that is very polarizing, you know, just because of the climate that we live in now. But no, I feel like no one talks about them, you know, in that way.
Oh, they do.
Yeah.
With election year, and certainly with this one, I'm sure people have been talking about it much more. I mean, election year was not subtle at all.
Oh, no.
I mean, you literally had like a Hillary versus Donald kind of surrogates in there.
Yeah. And I don't know. I've got to give Blumhouse some props for having this series, this big mainstream series that has mostly people of color for its main casts.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, it deals with these main characters who they're not wealthy, although we have a wealthy dude in this movie. We'll talk about him.
Well, what? Dimitri?
Yeah.
Well,
but
he's,
still,
he's street wealthy.
I know.
Yeah,
but I'm
yeah.
saying it's...
He's street rich. I wouldn't even say he's wealthy. Wealthy
true.
Is when you have bank accounts and investments.
That's true.
He doesn't have no stocks.
He doesn't have anything written on paper.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, it's a look at how The Purge, the last few movies, I would say every movie except that first one, is a look at how, or even the first one, because is it
The Stranger?
The Stranger, yeah, is a look at how something like The Purge affects people of lower classes.
Yeah, and to watch the evolution of the series has been fascinating because so this is a very liberal series.
Yes.
This is one of the most nakedly liberal horror series. I mean, horror is in general.
I would say
tends to be kind of liberal.
Yeah,
we're not just saying that.
Probably, yeah.
We happen to
I'm
be
sure.
Liberal,
I'm sure people have their opinions on
yeah.
that in the comments. But I would say You know, it's something we've talked about on the podcast before in terms of horror being a genre where the repressed get a voice, even if it's metaphorical. And it's kind of the space you can play in where we get to explore our nightmares. And a lot of those nightmares are what we're dealing with in real life, culturally, socially, politically. So it tends often to focus on people who are, you know, discriminated against. And I don't know.
Yeah.
That kind of figure is often represented in horror, even if it's not surface level obvious.
Usually it's a lot more, you know,
metaphorical. Exactly.
The Purge series.
The Purge is that's there. It's on the surface. You can't argue it. Other ones, you can have academics sitting around in a circle or on coffee arguing about whether or not that's what horror is. But The Purge, that's what this series is. I don't understand people being upset that this one is political all of a sudden.
Oh, no, they've been upset about the series being political.
But I've seen some people being upset that all of a sudden that it got political. Well, and it's like, what series have you been watching?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Election year. I don't think
it's
those
called
people
election,
saw
election year.
Yeah. The two things stood out to me about Purge, the first Purge, this newest one, this fourth movie of the series, that are different from the preceding entries. The first is that the movie finally decided that it was fine following a group of minority characters, people of color, without a like white savior, quote,
without
unquote.
Without Frank Grillo, John Wicken around all over the place.
Yeah, exactly. Because in so the first movie is kind of its own thing. You know, you got a rich, white, wealthy family.
Yeah.
And then there's the Black Stranger. That's commentary on its own. But with Anarchy and Election Year, you're following more street-level, disenfranchised people. But they are being led by Frank Grillo. And then in Election Year, Elizabeth Mitchell is also present. And so even though there's, like, the people of color who are the main characters, the mainest character is white dude ass kicker Frank Grillo, who I fucking love. That guy kicks so much ass.
And we're not saying that we don't like those characters.
Oh, no,
Frank Grillo kicks ass. I like seeing Lena Headey show up in the first one
because
I like her and everything.
But the difference that I noticed in the first Purge is that they don't have that. The only the only main white characters are the NFFA members that we occasionally check in with, who are entirely unlikable.
Right.
Marissa Tomei, who I didn't even recognize as Marissa Tomei, is because my facial blindness thing, and she has blonde hair. When the fuck has she ever had blonde hair? Never. So, yeah, that's Weekend at Bernie's, or not Weekend at Bernie's, I'm sorry, My Cousin Vinny's Marissa Tomei, or for all you youths, that's Aunt May Marissa Tomei.
You're youths if you're going full My Cousin Vinny.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you utes. She's Aunt May.
So it occasionally checks in on them, but they're not very likable. And it mostly follows black people who are in the poorer parts of Staten Island where this experiment is taking place. The other difference that I noticed is kind of a shift in the cynicism or anger of the series. I think that you could argue that the first three movies, and this shift kind of happens throughout the series, but the first three movies have this cynicism about the nature of human beings and just like what humans will do. Whereas this movie, as we'll discuss a little bit more when we're talking in the spoilery section, it shows that people aren't necessarily inclined to violence naturally, and that when the Purge experiment gets underway, the NFFA people are a little disappointed that there's not more violence going on. Mm-hmm. I don't consider this a spoiler. It's in the trailer. And I think that that's this kind of new sense of optimism in people, in the spirit of like people on the street and the common people. But then there's this reinvigorated cynicism in the government and the people at work behind the scenes who, as we see in this movie, end up fucking everything up. And that's present in Anarchy and Election Year because those semi-trucks and Big Daddy, it's like, oh, those are NFFA members. And in Election Year, like the government is trying to plot this assassination thing against Elizabeth Mitchell, like tweaking the rules to suit them. But here it is a full-on reversal of like, no, people aren't that bad if left to their own devices, but there are people out there who will like rig the game to make them do all this Purge shit.
Yeah, you know, especially I think that's reflected a lot in the main character, who again we'll talk about later.
Yeah.
I just want to talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, is there anything else?
I guess overall, if if you like the Purge movies, you'll probably like this one.
Yeah, I would say this is exactly as good as Anarchy in Election Year.
Yeah.
Maybe
I think it's a little bit of a slog.
Yeah, but all of them kind of have that aimlessness to them.
Yeah.
Because the only overarching goal in these movies is survive.
Mm-hmm.
There's rarely like a specific, tangible thing that we root for our characters to do other than just make it through the night.
Yeah, and there's not really one specific villain or one specific thing that they're trying to run from. You kind of get that, but...
Yeah, I think that's actually, this movie is worse with that than the other two, because in Anarchy, you kind of have Big Daddy driving around in a semi-truck. In Election Year, you have, like, the rival politician and, like, that party doing their whole, like, church night purge thing.
Yeah.
And this movie, like, it's not really there. That they introduce a big bad kind of in the last act.
Yeah.
The guy who's, like, leading them around. And it's just, there's a lot of meandering in this movie.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem to go anywhere.
That's kind of how I feel about all of them, is there's a lot of interesting ideas that feel very kind of loosely connected by a story.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think they want to explore these kind of philosophical ideas about society and violence and human nature. But
yeah.
then it's like, it doesn't
have like a story.
No.
Yeah, it's more of just like this overarching view. I always get those mixed up. Of like, I don't know, what would happen. It's like a thought experiment.
Yeah.
It's less a movie than a thought experiment. So, yeah, if you like the Purge movies, you'll like this, I think.
If you don't like them, you'll hate this. Just don't.
If you like The Wire, you'll like this, maybe.
Oh my God.
This borrows a lot from The Wire. This movie was written by James DeMonaco, who wrote and directed the first three movies. He did not direct this one. This was the first time he let someone else direct
it.
So that's the only difference here. But
it did feel different.
Yeah. But, yeah, it was directed by Gerard McMurray, who doesn't have a Wikipedia article, so that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a Purge.
It's a Purge movie.
Do
you think it's time to get into the spoiler?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, if you still want to see this and you haven't yet and you don't want to get spoiled, get the fuck out of here. Go.
Okay. 3, 2, 1. Okay, spoiler. Now we're spoiling it. Okay, first of all, if we're doing a Purge, Purge podcast, we have to properly decorate this set.
Oh, God.
I made this, like, in 30 seconds.
She's very excited about this.
Can you tell them what I'm doing?
She is hanging up a Halloween quote-unquote poster, because in this movie there's a poster for Blumhouse's Halloween reboot sequel
it.
Whatever it's probably so bright,
it's probably just bright,
just
white.
Like a white thing, but here's
here's
her Michael.
Michael, yep. Halloween on it.
Yeah, that's the poster. Which, you know what, actually, hey, before we get into the spoilery stuff, let me address the timeline issue, because it's a thing of a lot of dispute going on, okay? And I just want to lay out my facts here.
Go for it.
Because people keep commenting and they keep saying I'm wrong about shit, but from what I understand, here is what's up, okay? That first movie, The Purge, takes place in 2022. No, I'm sorry. Fuck. Damn it. I think it's 2022, okay? 1, 2, 3. Yes, it takes place in 2022 and specifically says it is the sixth purge.
Okay.
So, assuming it's an annual thing, that means that the first purge would have been 2017, because then you have 18, 19, 2020, 2021, and 2022. This is the same kind of counting that throws people off on the kill count. But it makes sense. Count on your fingers. If the first purge is the 2017 and then the sixth purge is 2022, okay? So that first movie establishes Six Purge 2022. It's supported by the footage you were watching in the opening credits there with of like purge footage. It's actually real life security cam footage of like riots and shit, which I didn't know. So you might actually be watching real people die there, which is crazy. But the first year that it shows any footage from is 2017. So according to that first movie, first purge happens 2017.
Okay. So immediately we're on an alternate planet.
Yes. And you can assume that the NFFA won the 2016 election.
Okay, weird.
Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Anarchy says that it's the seventh purge. It says that in the movie. And so, that takes place the year after the first movie in 2023. Got it? Cool. Great. Election year is what throws everyone off. Because there's an opening scene, and I'm so sorry if this is boring, because you're sitting there like, I watched these movies once, I don't care, but I just want to address
yeah,
this.
Yeah, I truly don't care. Yeah, but you can check out I know, segment. I'm just, yeah, I'm nodding politely. I know.
Yeah. So, election year opens with a cold open of Elizabeth Mitchell's family getting purged, okay? It's during a purge, and then it says 18 years later, and she's running for office, okay? That... They mention in the same like scene or the same news broadcast that the new founding fathers came into power 25 years ago. So they come into power 2016. 25 years later is 2041. And then you subtract the 18 from that for the cold open. And so the cold open took place during 2023. And some people are like, yo, no, it took the cold open took place 18 years before the rest of the movie, which took place 2 years after Anarchy, because it came out 2 years after Anarchy. But if you do that math...
That's not possible.
It's not possible, because 18 years prior to 2 years after Anarchy, follow me here, there weren't any purges, okay? So I just want to defend my timeline here and say that they intentionally kind of leave it ambiguous, because in election year, when Frank Grillo, who looks great for being 18 years later, says, some years ago, I almost did something during a purge. They don't even put a number on it. And in the first purge, I was listening for a year, never heard it. But we must assume that the first purge takes place last year in 2017. Rant over. I'm so sorry if that was boring as fuck.
That was an awful minute and a half of a podcast. I'm sure some people will like it, but holy shit, that was nerdy.
I'm so sorry, but I get so frustrated when people tell me I'm wrong, and I'm like, no, I did my research.
Someone on the internet's wrong. Gotta tell them.
Gotta tell them, man. You gotta win those internet battles.
Yeah, I get it.
All right, but about the first purge.
Yeah, so wow, that's throwing me off now that is supposed to have been in 2017, because the movie starts with a lot of well, I guess it makes some sense, because they start with news footage and stuff, and you see, you know, real footage from protests. And
was that real footage? I assume.
Yeah, I mean, there's
faces blocked out.
Yeah, they had faces blurred out. I mean, they looked like, you know, why stage news footage when stuff already exists from Black Lives Matter marches and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, you know what? I don't know if that's the first thing we see. I think the first thing we see is Skeletor being crazy.
Whoa, yeah. We get a little cold open?
Yeah, I think so. Because it's like, what do you do when you're upset? And he's like, I pipe up!
Yeah.
This guy is crazy.
Skeletor. Yeah, there is a character named Skeletor.
Yep.
Which originally, because like another character calls him that, and I thought it was just a mean nickname. And so I wrote it down as a joke, like, haha, I'm going to call this guy Skeletor the whole podcast because it'll be really funny. But then, no, that's just actually his name.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This guy, he's a Key and Peele character.
Yes.
He's looking to fucking...
He wants to fight some Terry.
That's right. He's looking to Drax them's clowns.
Yes, he is.
He's got crazy, like, like scar tattoos pretty much all over his face.
If a purge was to happen on this block, psh.
And he's like, my lungs are so small. I just want to hit that pipe more. This guy's fucking insane.
He's having a really good time.
Yeah, possibly
this actor.
Too good of a time. But you know what? It's the purge. Whatever. The guy next to me was definitely like, he audibly said, what the fuck? After this first scene with Skeletor. But Skeletor is being interviewed by like NFFA people who are like, what do you do when you're angry?
Mm-hmm. And he says, I just want to purge. I want to say something along those lines. And like, the NFFA guy's like, interesting choice of words, purge.
Yes.
You shall get to purge soon.
Yep.
Cut to title, first purge.
The first purge. Yeah, apparently there's a mortgage crisis worse than 2008.
Worse than 2008, that's which, pretty bad. Again, that's what made me think that this is in the future.
Yeah.
Because
maybe their bubble burst.
Alternate planet.
So, yeah, it's an alternate.
Just think
timeline.
alternate Earth that solves all those problems.
Yeah. Because apparently the winner of the 2016 elections was the NFFA, this new party that arose.
Yes.
Like, this is all stuff that we could have assumed from the previous movies.
I like seeing it, though. Like, I think that's kind of why. I don't know if I'll watch the TV series.
Well, I mean, I
want to give it a chance, but. It's kind of what I want from it is I want to know more about that political party.
Yeah.
Because I find it really interesting.
Because during the credits of this movie, there's a fucking ad for the Purge miniseries, I guess.
The end, not the beginning of the movie. Not the beginning credits.
Oh, yeah,
that'd
be
crazy.
The end credits. Yeah, yeah. Before you watch this movie. Yeah, there's an ad for like a 10-episode miniseries coming to TV soon, The Purge.
I think USA.
I think so. Oh, really? That sucks.
Yeah, that kind of sucks.
Why would it not be like a Netflix thing? I hope that Chucky series is on Netflix so it can get fucking gory.
Yeah.
But USA, I mean, I guess it's on brand, but it's going to be a TV series. And I remember James DeMonaco saying that he wants to explore life in this world outside of just Purge Night because all these movies take place on Purge Night or the day before.
Which to me sounds great.
Yeah, because like Purge takes place in, I think... it takes place in the spring, I think March maybe. And so like what's going on in May? You know, when you got 10 months till the next purge, what's going on?
Yeah, what's life like on this weird alternate mm-hmm. Earth?
Because apparently like crime is all low because of it and employment's super high. It's funny.
I doubt it. I think those numbers are fudged.
Right, as we see. The
yeah,
NFFA.
I think that's what we'll find out in the TV series. I don't think crime is any ding dong different. Then before the purge, the government's fudging those numbers.
Oh my
god. Let me put on my tinfoil hat.
Yeah, do it.
But no, I think that's what we're going to find out on the show.
Sure. That makes sense after this movie.
Mm-hmm.
The NFFA, this third party that arose as an alternate to Republicans and Democrats, mm-hmm. Endorsed by the NRA.
Just name dropping that. Has the NRA been name dropped in the purge?
I thought they were. Like their stuff.
In election year, maybe.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't think it's a coincidence that NFFA sounds and looks kind of like NRA.
Yeah.
You know, you get that association.
Yeah, although I think this is the first movie we see the NFFA's apparent logo,
I know, I leaned over and was like, James, have we seen that before? Because that's an iron cross.
Which is a symbol
that's
commonly used by neo-Nazis and white supremacists nowadays. Yeah. Dude, there were people in the election year kill count, because I call them Nazis the whole time. They're like, they're not Nazis, they're white supremacists.
Oh.
Some of them have fucking swastikas on their fucking armor.
Yeah.
So, yeah, those are Nazis.
Those are Nazis.
And two, come on.
Yeah, fuck off. Like, sorry, just fuck off.
Sorry I didn't get my alt-right hate groups fucking right.
Yeah, have some respect, James.
I'm sorry.
Jesus Christ.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Spoilers, a ton of Nazis and KKK members get killed in this movie.
They do a lot
they
of
get
killing,
shot.
Though, too.
So if you want it, that sounds good, which it should. You can just lean back, crack open a cold one, and enjoy The Purge. It's a good summer movie.
Yep.
Bring the family.
President Bracken is elected.
Yes, and he looks a little bit like Ray Liotta, I think.
All right.
Like scary old Ray Liotta.
You made a funnier comparison yesterday.
Oh, worse Ted Cruz?
Yeah.
I was like, wait. No. Oh, okay. I was getting confused as to who was the president and then who... Because I think the guy in like Purge headquarters all night is chief of staff.
He's his chief of staff. Although I feel like they purposefully chose someone who looks kind of Spicer-esque, Sean Spicery. And then in the end, he's like giving a press conference that really solidified it for me. I was like, is this guy supposed to be Sean Spicer?
Yeah.
It's kind of like, bumbling a little bit.
Fucking weenie.
He's a bit of a weenie.
But yeah, the actor does a great job with him, to be fair. He's so, so unlikable.
He's very unlikable. And he wins in the end. Spoiler. Mm. It's the spoiler section. So yeah, this President Bracken wins, and they're talking about this experiment. They just jump straight to this experiment, the Purge.
Mm-hmm.
And so the whole thing is like, yeah, we're going to do this experiment set up by Marissa Tomei. She's like a psychologist.
Her character is weird.
Are we supposed to have sympathy for her?
I was wondering, that's in my notes. Are we supposed to feel bad for her? Because I don't.
Spoiler, she ends up like...
The
whole time we're checking in with them, she's like...
Okay, well, let's explain what her deal is. So mm-hmm. she is a behavioral scientist, publicly not affiliated with any party. I have a feeling she's at least ideologically aligned. Exactly.
Yeah.
But she develops the idea of the Purge, and according to her calculations...
Research.
Her research, quote-unquote, the Purge will lower crime rates, blah, blah, blah. You know the deal. But... Yeah. So we kind of keep checking in with her all night, and she... What? Okay, so the Purge, there's not as many murders as the government wants. They want it to be a big blowout, kind of,
yeah,
to prove
this,
that...
Let me get Spicer Weenie's name.
Sure.
So I don't have to keep referring to him as that and probably offending someone. But,
oh, what, if we call him Sean Spicer?
Yeah. I mean, look at it. You know what? I didn't write this movie. Aldo Sabian. Cool. Wait, Aldo, I guess.
We'll call him Aldo.
Aldo?
I think,
Aldo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's freaking out because there's not as many murders and everyone's just partying. Like they show the camera, the little like cameras
Looks
they have
dope.
And everyone's just having block parties and stuff.
Yeah.
So he basically organizes, and we'll get more into detail as we go through the plot, but he basically organizes violence to happen throughout the night. Like he makes murder happen to fulfill the expectations that the government has, and so the government can be like, look, we were right, so that their party doesn't look stupid.
Yeah.
And so Marissa Tomei realizes that he's doing this and basically fudging the results of this of the purge of the experiment, and then she gets all, well, it wasn't supposed to happen like this, like you can't just go. And she's
like, what have I done?
What have I done? Oh no. And are we supposed to feel bad for her? Because
earlier when she was watching the footage of the first murder in the purge, she seemed fine with it, and I'm like, that's still super fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird. Ugh. I'm not sure how we're supposed to feel about that character.
She gets killed, and I was fine with it.
Yeah.
Even though her getting killed...
Very unceremoniously, too.
Even though her getting killed meant Aldo was winning. Yeah, I mean, he wins in the end.
I was going to say, that's another thing with the movie, is I think you were talking about how it feels a little more... optimistic, and the ending, I could see how if there are no other Purge movies, feels optimistic, where they say like, well, now we fight, and then that's when you leaned over and whispered at the polls, which is that, you know, they're gonna fight the good fight, but you know, there's all these other Purge movies, and it's like,
and as you see from those other ones, the rest of the country buys into it and just goes along with it without much government prompting, apparently. So that sucks.
Yeah,
that sucks.
I really like, and this is the thing, is there so many things about this movie that I genuinely do really like. Purge movies are weird, man, because I'm never like pumped about them. I'm always super whatever, but there's stuff in them I really like, and I like the setup of the experiment and how they did the first purge. It was in an isolated area. It's on Staten Island.
Yeah, and I don't know New York. Excuse my
ignorance.
Either. Is Staten Island lower income like this?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so. I also.
The only thing
I
know
never...
about like the boroughs is like Brooklyn used to be lower income. Yeah. And then it got hipsterfied, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's all I know. Manhattan is business.
I mean, a lot of the boroughs are pretty, gentrified now.
Yeah. But apparently, Staten Island. If this is true, I'm sorry, New Yorkers. I'm
I know
so
we
sorry
really
that we're ignorant.
Don't know.
We're over here on the West Coast, dude. Yeah. We're staying up way later than you and partying and surfing.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's going to take place on Staten Island, where they say like the demographics will be good, aka black and brown.
I was gonna say aka black people live there. Poor black people. I think the setup of it as a paid experiment was really smart.
Yeah. So that's the thing, is the government's, this is a government-sanctified experiment.
And I thought this was such a good way to set up, because I think watching the Purge movies, often you think, how could this happen?
Yeah.
How could we ever get to a point where this happens?
Also, so many comments on my videos are like, why don't they just leave the country?
Yeah, that's super easy.
Yeah, right? Like,
Canada doesn't want us. Neither does Mexico. No one wants us to, you know.
And if you're like in the middle of the country and
you're
drive
so
over the boarding
fucked.
and you're poor. Yeah, I was like, how many of you can at the drop of a hat
just move?
Move. Leave the country.
Most people can't afford to do that.
Yeah, most people don't have savings for fucking if their car breaks.
Yeah.
Down.
Yeah. You can't. Oh, man,
but this movie helps explain it, because the government actually is paying people to stay on the island during the experiment. They're giving everyone who wants to stay $5,000 to stay, and then also upping the ante and sweetening the pot a little bit by saying, if you participate in the purge, you will make more money.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning if you go out and purge your anger through whatever crime, and some people are like, what, like murder? And they're like, I don't know, but they'll make more money. And to track that, they give them these contact lens cameras.
I love how. Well, everyone who stays on Staten Island has it's an implanted tracking device.
Tracking device.
But also,
or I guess only the people who are staying and getting paid.
Yeah.
I think conceivably people like Dimitri are staying but not getting paid. Yeah.
Naya, I don't think would.
No.
Yeah. She knows what's up. You don't get stuff implanted in you by the don't do it.
If anyone has Belko experiment taught you nothing, never get something implanted.
But here's the thing though, that the implanted thing, I'd be like, no, that's fucked up. But then they're like, well, what about these super cool contact lenses? Then you might have me.
Yeah.
Because they're pretty cool looking.
Yeah. So they give the contact lenses to people who are going to participate in the purge and who want to make more money by purging.
Yes.
And these contact lenses are cameras to track and record everything that they're doing, but they also are these fucking
light up crazy things. There's no reason for them to light up, and there's no reason for them to all be different colors.
Fuck yeah.
But I,
except for being awesome,
thought it looked really cool.
They look real cool.
Yeah.
Like, and halfway through the movie, the impracticality of this is kind of acknowledged by Isaiah, who is Naya's younger brother. We'll get into the characters in a minute.
Yeah.
But he's running around and he's running away from people, and he's like hiding in dark places, and someone looks into a window and he has to close his eyes because he's like, oh fuck, my contacts are growing.
Uh-huh.
And he winds up taking them out because, yeah, they're going to make you kind of obvious. But it makes for some pretty cool imagery.
It does, yeah. Like, and some creepy, creepy things too. Like, it's a creepy effect.
Like when he's walking down the alley,
yes,
and there are people looking out
people
at him from
standing
the
in the window, and they're just a silhouette. It reminded me of Pennywise when you see him in the butchery when Mike sees him.
Yeah,
and
he's
just
eyes glowing,
and he's kind of waving. And
so that was cool imagery.
It looks really neat, and
yeah.
I would love a pair of light up contacts.
Yeah, it's very awesome.
Yeah, again,
visually.
Just you know, something that I think is just, it looks cool. Therefore, we're doing it because it looks cool. I don't think I would ever why are they, like, the different colors? Like, that's more expensive to get them made in different colors.
Another thing that they establish is that the people of Staten Island voted for this, that they were given the option, voted for it. But Van Jones
shows up.
Actual.
My first CNN note, my very first note is just Van Jones.
Yeah, actual CNN.
CNN, yeah.
Van Jones is in this movie and he's interviewing Marissa Tomei and Aldo. And they're like, what?
Nothing. It's just him playing himself.
Yeah, he's literally Van Jones.
It's like Van Jones' actual talking points if he lived on alternate Earth.
Yeah, and they're like, well, Staten Island voted for him, but Van Jones is like,
bullshit.
Well, no, they were coerced because part of the vote included that financial incentive.
Right.
So it was the people voting yes, as Van Jones hypothesizes, and I buy in, were doing so because they were like, oh, this is an easy way to make money.
If we all do this, we all get $5,000 to stay at home, as one character puts it. She's like, I get $5,000 to just stay at home.
Yeah. So that's like the incentive. And like, again, I kind of like how this movie is setting that up. It's giving justification for how this would get started, how people could agree to it at
first. It's also, I would say there's a ton of historical basis for this kind of experiment and this kind of use of certain demographics of people in our country. Specifically, I thought of the Tuskegee experiments.
Yeah.
Which if you didn't know, is super fucked up.
Yeah.
It was experiments, I want to say, in the...
Tennessee? Oh.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to think of when. Early 1900s?
Tennessee, it might also be
wrong.
I'm
not exactly sure when it was. But it was an experiment conducted at Tuskegee University with, I think, it was a government experiment where they paid... these really poor black farmers, basically. I think they had 600, 400-ish already had syphilis, but 100 and some didn't. And they unknowingly infected the 100 and some with syphilis. So it was a study about syphilis. None of the participants knew.
Yeah.
And this went on for years, and it was a paid thing. But the thing is the after effects of that experiment, they told them after a while, like, we're actually not going to treat you. Sorry. They just fucked up these men's lives.
It's a super dark
moment. I can't even fully get into, because it's super, I think it deserves more of a complex analysis than what I can do right now. But yeah, my like recollection of it. But I totally get, you know, the men who in that experiment, sure, they did it voluntarily, just kind of like we see people in this movie.
Yeah. So
you know, I totally buy that people would voluntarily let the purge happen and stay and be paid for, because they're like, sure, whatever, it's easy money, I'll do it. I'm poor.
They need the money. Some of them say $5,000 will change my life. And no shit.
That's a lot of money.
Low income families who like can't even afford rent and shit.
So I think the idea of it being a paid experiment was very intentional. I think it's meant to evoke stuff like Tuskegee.
For sure. Yeah. So this is kind of trying to just shore up the, because I know some complaints about the series is, how could this ever happen? I think this movie does a decent job explaining,
I think so too,
how it could happen.
I think that was something I really liked about it.
And then at the end of it, if the government's telling the populace that this worked, then more people might buy into it. I still have maybe a hard time believing that
we had a debate about this.
We can talk about it later. But so we introduce our characters, our main characters that we're going to be following. There's Naya, who is played by that chick who played Toni Braxton in a Lifetime movie. Is that right? Lex Scott Davis.
Mm-hmm.
And she is a anti-purge activist.
Yeah, she's a boots on the ground activist. We actually have the same boots. They should have closed up with them. I was like, nice,
because
every protest I've gone to in the last year, worn those boots.
Yeah, so she's like, do not participate, do not purge. That's her chant. Her little brother Isaiah is, I mean, we'll get into him a little bit more, but so she has a little brother Isaiah, and then her ex-boyfriend Dimitri is this like drug kingpin who runs a operation that James DeMonaco learned from The Wire.
Yes, exactly. So that's why I don't think it's wrong at all to just make comparisons to The Wire.
Oh, no.
This movie is written by a guy who everything he knows about drugs and drug running is from The Wire. Which, you know what? If I wrote a movie like this, that it would be The Wire, because that's all I fucking know about that too. But basically, our D, Dimitri, is a Stringer Bell, if you've seen The Wire. He's Stringer Bell. But he's a lot nicer.
He is a lot nicer. He's buffer, I would say.
Yeah.
He's fucking
He's a very
jacked.
Handsome man.
The first shot of him is him running on that treadmill.
Oh,
I'm
my
like,
God.
Holy
I know.
Shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. That guy's arms are like bigger than my body.
They're like big hams. They're just huge.
It's insane. But he's he's like a drug dealer, like a drug kind of kingpin on Staten Island. And he's against the purge because he says that he doesn't like it because he doesn't know what it is.
Yes,
he can't
it's
trust
chaos.
It. Yeah, yeah. He likes to have control over things.
He's a little finger. He wants to cause.
No, he's the opposite.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. He doesn't want chaos.
He's the complete opposite of.
He's like, no, I can't take advantage of chaos. It's too unpredictable.
Yeah, that's true. Yolan Noel is his name. Oh wow, he's only a year older than me. That's interesting. Well, you know what? That makes sense.
I'm we're getting old now.
Yep. And he was in Insecure. I don't know what that is, but
I've heard that's really good. That's
a
show. It's supposed to be very good.
He was great in this. I really liked
him. I liked him a lot too.
He was a fun character to root for.
Yeah.
Because he like could kick ass and he was like this, you know, he's this drug dealer, but like a moral one.
That's what I meant earlier when I think you were talking about like just the nuance that this movie has. It has a little more empathy towards like most people aren't bad.
Yeah.
And but like situations make them,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that I think that's what I meant when I said that's kind of exemplified in this character is like if you're just reading a description of this dude, and you don't know anything about him. You would say he's a bad guy. He's a drug kingpin, you know.
To be fair, they get away with it by never exploring the consequences of his actions.
And also, like, what did he do to, like, get to be but still.
Unlike The Wire, they never show the drug addicts whose lives are ruined
Well, Naya does say, like, that's why she's like, don't fucking talk to me because you've ruined this neighborhood.
True. Yeah, so Naya is used to be with him romantically and left him because she didn't want to, you know, be with a drug dealer.
Right. So yeah, I like that he's a little morally gray, but he's a good guy and we root for him. And I think it's a nice way to kind of show in a character that, you know, when you're kind of born into a shitty ass situation, it's complicated.
Well, that debate is there a little bit.
You know, it's the wire.
Yeah, because like Naya constantly like they have conversations. She's
Isaiah
like,
Isaiah basically arguing like, well, how can I not want to be someone like D, because how else are we supposed to get out if there's no other answer?
Yeah, and she argues to D, I grew up here too, but I didn't choose that path. So,
yeah.
You know, those conversations are there. Obviously, it's not going to get as deep as a
No, and again, that's why Purge is so weird, because I like those ideas and I like those characters talking about that stuff, but it's not enough for me to, you know. But that's not what this movie is.
Yeah.
It's weird. This movie wants to have a lot of things.
It always does.
Yeah.
I will say that James DeMonaco is a white man who obviously in these movies is writing for a lot of characters of color. And I feel like he did a much better job in this movie than in Election Year, when you have the character Joe Dixon talking about like, oh man, there are some choice lines in that movie that I left out of the kill count, but he literally, like, they're in a van and he's like, we got a group, like, I'm just gonna quote this. He's like, there's a group of Negroes coming at us and we're sitting here like a bucket of chicken.
They drop the not N-word.
Yeah, the non word, because they say Negroes.
They say Negroes, and it's like, they don't do that in this.
No, this movie, they drop the N word here.
Yeah.
They say that a lot, which I feel is, I don't know, is more realistic. I'm just guessing.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Hi, we're white.
But yeah, we don't know. But
sat here for 10 minutes trying to adjust the light because my face was so blown out because I'm so fucking pale.
That's true.
We're white as fuck.
But, it felt less forced. There were some moments, but I'm specifically comparing the character of Dolores here to Joe Dixon from Election Year.
Oh, we love Dolores.
Dolores is fucking great. She does have a few lines. Like one of her first lines is like, sweating like a snitch. Which is like
snitch,
that feels a little forced to me, but all of her other lines are just fucking hilarious lines. She's talking about, was it gut bubble?
Oh, I've got bubble guts.
Bubble guts, and she like
she shits herself. It's great.
It tastes like old man ass. Don't ask me
how I know. Yeah,
like, she was
awesome. Love Dolores.
Also, fun fact, the actress credited as playing Dolores doesn't have a Wikipedia article, but is just credited as Mugga.
Fuck yeah.
One word.
Dude,
Mugga.
She's seen some shit, probably.
She's probably seen some shit with a name like Mugga.
Come
on, dude.
I think it's one where, because I was curious as to how the Purge series is viewed in like film criticism circles that aren't like white critics. Like, I was looking for critics who are people of color, specifically black people, like how do they feel about The Purge, because it's a white guy trying to write black characters.
Yeah.
And I think like pretty positive. I saw mixed opinions, but I think I saw a Reddit thread talking about Purge Anarchy, I think. But it's weird. Yeah, those movies, I think the director and writer genuinely has gone out of his way to like listen to the criticisms people have had about these movies. And I think this one shows like some growth. I think he has really good intentions.
He has good intentions. Yeah, for sure. I think Election Year, that character of Joe Dixon was like pretty cringe. I read a comment on Reddit, I think from a black man who said he saw the movie in a theater with a predominantly black audience. And I remember his comment was something along the lines of, at first we were laughing along with Joe Dixon's lines. And then as they kept going and going throughout the movie, the reaction was more like groans at it. Because like, it just is nonstop with that character. It's pretty bad. But again, I think James DeMonaco has good intentions.
I think so too.
He's trying. And as we saw with this movie, I think he adjusted and listened to the criticism, like you said. So
I think the dynamic of white people writing for and directing people of color is like a really important thing to explore too, you know. Mm-hmm. Like being able to write those characters as people.
Yeah. And I'm also curious if this movie, if the series, it does well, like box office wise, demographically with like black people, since they're
would really like to look at the demographics.
Yeah, I gotta look at that data, because like, why else? I assume it has to, because why else would they continue in that direction with those characters more being more represented in these movies? My guess is that they looked at who was watching these movies and were like, oh, it's this demographic. Let's go further in that direction.
Which is I had a little Twitter thread about this the other week, but it's why this series is so interesting.
Like, for anyone who's like rolling their eyes at this discussion, just like, it's something to talk about, and it's interesting because just think about how the reason we're talking about it is because it's relatively rare for a horror series to focus on like black characters like
in
this.
In movies in general.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of always been this like niche thing. Like you got the Tyler Perry movies or movies that are like aimed.
Yeah, like these are movies for black people.
Exactly.
But The Purge, everyone knows The Purge. I don't think if you ask someone who hadn't seen them to like describe them, I don't think you would ever get someone being like, oh, those are like quote unquote black horror movies.
Yeah.
You Which is why that. I think they're super interesting that
that's
a mainstream.
What makes them interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just
why aren't they better?
Because most movies aren't better. Yeah. Most movies are a solid.
This is why it's like I have such a weird relationship with the Purge series. It's like it's very it's difficult.
Yeah, it's trying. I want them to keep
trying.
But
also, it is kind of cool that, you know, because I think often the pressure is a bit higher. And granted, this is written and directed by a white guy, so maybe the pressure is a little bit less. But often when you have movies either made by or starring women or people of color, like minorities, there's more pressure for it to be amazing. There's more pressure for those movies to be masterpieces. You know, I think there's a bit more because the opportunity for a second chance is less.
Sure.
So I think it is kind of cool that these movies are pretty mediocre, but they just still keep coming out.
Thanks, Blumhouse.
You know?
I really like Blumhouse.
Everyone, you know, everyone deserves a chance to be mediocre.
Yeah.
And, you know,
if
that's
Colin
what America's about.
If Colin Trevorrow can have that many chances at it, then so should everyone else. We're not even anywhere into the plot
of
this movie.
Sorry.
Isaiah, who is Naya's younger brother, turns out he's running drugs, possibly for Dimitri. I don't know if it was ever established.
I think
just doesn't know because he's so high up.
Yeah.
But while he's doing, you know, young runner on the corner, Wire style, Skeletor walks up.
Skeletor.
And fucking gets all up in his face and winds up like cutting him in the neck.
Yeah.
On the side of the neck with a razor.
Which he had in his mouth,
I think he had
it
in his mouth. He took it off
his
tongue. Yeah. Crazy ass Skeletor.
Skeletor.
So, that's how Naya finds out that Isaiah was involved with drugs. And she's very upset because, you know, there's that whole thing. Like, you got to be better than that. And I found this interesting is that when she goes to D and complains to him about Isaiah having worked for him, and again, he said he didn't know, but she mentions that, you know, he got cut, and D is like, we'll take care of it, and we'll take care of him, Skeletor. And she gets upset because she's like, what, you're gonna beat him up? You're gonna kill him? That's the way you do things? And I actually found it interesting later that that's what Aldo does. he takes care of Marissa Tomei and has her killed. So it shows that, like, oh, there's not much difference between the drug kingpin and the government official.
Right.
Yeah, have that commentary, Purge.
Yeah.
I might end up liking this movie more.
I know.
That happens, dude. Sometimes you think about a movie and talk about it, and you end up liking it more or less than you thought.
I just have respect for how much it is trying to, like, just go for it.
It's going for it, dude. Isaiah ends up signing up for the Purge after he gets in trouble with his sister. And part of the little box that they give him, the little starter kit, the Purge starter kit that has the contacts, also includes the blue flowers, which has been...
I did not write the name of those.
I forgot it, but they're the flowers. They're introduced immediately in the first movie on the radio.
They?
Yeah, on the radio, they're like, remember to show your support for the Purge by putting out the blue flowers. Yeah, and he, and what's his name? Ethan Hawke brings home these blue flowers for Lena and gives them to her. It's a little bit in Anarchy. I forget if it's at all in election years, because I feel like this series kind of picks up things and tries to run with them but forgets about them sometimes, because in Anarchy there was this thing where all the characters would be like, stay safe to each other, as if it was like a pre-Purge thing to say to each other. And they say it in this movie, but I don't think they say it in the first movie or election year, so it's like
weird.
It tosses a lot of balls up and forgets to catch some of them sometimes.
Yeah,
but like we said, it's trying to do a lot.
Yeah,
so Isaiah signs up for the Purge, and then the Purge starts.
Yeah, Naya is in a church, like a local church with...
like a stay safe church.
For
people who couldn't get off the island, because a lot of people leave.
Right.
But after a certain point, they're like, that's the last bus out, that's the last ferry out.
And then
out.
I think she talks to some of her friends who say, like, yeah, I'm getting the $5,000.
Yeah,
to stay.
I signed up for it, but I'm just going to chill in this church, get my $5,000, my life will be changed.
Right. Yeah. And honestly, like... you know,
that'd be
pretending I don't know anything about the Purge, like, if I live in this world, this experiment's happening, I think I would be naive enough to think, like, no one's actually gonna, like, go, you know,
yeah,
like, we're all just gonna keep going on like it's the same because this is silly. Yeah, I'm gonna stay and keep get $5,000. I would do it.
Sure.
So they all take shelter in this church, and I think importantly, like a black church. It's an all black church.
Oh yeah,
I think that's important for later. And I think as soon as they showed who was in the church and just like the setting of it, I had such a bad feeling, man.
Yeah,
and I was right ultimately. Just some symbolism that I was like, they're gonna go for it, man. It's gonna suck.
Isaiah tells Naya that he left, that he got on the last bus out, and that he's going to Brooklyn with, like, a relative.
Yeah.
That's a lie. He's lying. He's going out to Purge because he wants to go find Skeletor.
He wants to kill him legally.
Yeah. He wants to get that. He wants to purge it up. Also, in the interviews with people signing up for the Purge are these two ladies who are like, people make fun of us, and so we want to sign up for the Purge. And they're like, do you ever think of killing people? And they're like, what do you think? And then so the Purge starts. It's got the disclaimer, and it's got the sirens. Those sirens are cool. Those sirens are
scary.
Nice and, like, scary, and they're a good association. They're like, oh, those are the Purge sirens.
I like that they have the Purge sirens, and also they use just the real emergency alert system sounds, which terrify me.
Mm-hmm.
Those sounds are...
And the voice reading the announcement, I believe, is at this point the only actor to be in all four of the movies now.
Oh, hey!
The woman reading those things is the same woman, so good for her. So the Purge starts, and yeah, these ladies.
I believe, I could be wrong, because we stayed through the credits. There are two characters named Anna and Elsa. I have a feeling that these are two sisters.
Oh, I'm
Anna
sorry.
And Elsa.
It's Anna and Elsa.
Oh, I'm sorry. Unless I'm from Michigan. I don't give a
for
fuck.
For our Michigan accent. Yeah. Yeah, so these ladies are just running around with
the best characters.
But again, it's a thing that
it's so fucking
just gets
random.
Dropped. It's random. So they're there in that interview thing. Then when the Purge starts, they're running around
they
with shopping carts full of baby dolls.
Full of baby dolls.
And blaring.
Oh, it's Let It Whip. The whip a baby. Down, whip it all night.
Yeah.
Letter. Yeah.
It's fucking hilarious. The whole theater laughed because they're going crazy.
Yeah. So they're having a blast.
Yeah. And then
they got the contact lenses in. So it's a look. Laughing, yeah. It's a look.
And then later Isaiah runs into their like booby trapped baby doll thing that you said would make a great scare zone at Halloween Horror Nights.
Why is this not a scare zone?
It might be.
You have to run through and they're setting off explosions. There's charges going off.
But yeah, it's the last time we see
them. There's weird baby dolls everywhere and Let It Whip's playing.
Yeah.
You could actually die. You got to sign waivers before you run through because there's just fire coming at you. Stuff is actually being blown up.
Yeah, it's the last time we see these ladies in the movie.
Unfortunately,
is Isaiah dodging their baby doll bombs.
They reminded me a little bit of the girls in, is that election year? The candy bar girl?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I'm here for this candy bar.
I got my candy bar with their light up car.
These Purge movies always find these actors and are like, just do whatever you want.
I love it.
Skeletor, Candy Girl.
Anna and Elsa.
Anna and Elsa. Okay, so the only one we see gearing up for the Purge as we know and love it is Skeletor, who's got the fucking like Freddy syringe claws.
There's a few of Freddy Krueger references.
Oh, what do you think else is there?
Well, because he's got the syringes like Wolverine style kind of between his fingers, and they look like the Freddy
and Dream Warrior.
But there's a shot of him walking down an alley. He also has a knife and he's like scraping it up against and it reminded me a lot of Freddy. I think there's a
so he's like Skeletor's purge is on.
Yeah,
he like says to himself as he goes out. And so for everyone who always leaves comments of like, why is everyone going to kill people on Purge Night? Go steal shit. Dude, do you know how many comments I see that are like, I would go to GameStop and rob them, which really speaks of my demographic.
That's hilarious.
Is like so many fucking comments on those videos are,
guys, GameStop's going to be picked over by the time you get there. Everyone's going to GameStop.
Everyone's going to GameStop out of my audience.
Oh, man.
But the first thing that we see someone trying to do in the Purge is rob an ATM. He's trying to bust open this ATM, which makes sense.
Yep.
You know? But he doesn't succeed because Skeletor appears behind him, and Skeletor gets the very first Purge kill.
Yeah, he knows it too. He's yelling.
He's excited. Yeah, he's telling the drones that are recording people up in the air.
Yeah.
And so he's one of these contacts, and his murder is recorded. And later on, Marissa Tomei and Aldo get the footage from it, and the footage is also like shown across news broadcasts.
Yeah, they just play it.
Yeah, they just play this dude getting stabbed, and I really liked how the people in the church reacted to it because they're fucking horrified by it.
Yeah.
And as you should be from this legalized murder in your community. Like, some of those people might have known that dude.
Yeah, I think probably most of them didn't think it was actually going to happen, you know.
But Marissa Tomei and Aldo, they're like, pleased, I guess.
She's very like, yes, this is what I expected from my science.
I still don't get that character.
I don't either.
Are we supposed to like? Because Marissa Tomei is someone that I feel people like.
Yeah.
So if you're gonna cast the likable, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, dude. Yeah. So we also have Dimitri tells his crew not to go out and purge because, and I like the reasoning he gives. You make money for me. If something happens to you, I lose money. Don't fucking go out there and purge because just stay home, be safe.
Yeah.
Carry on as normal. But one guy in his crew, capital A,
is that his name?
He wants to go out and purge.
Yeah. And then, so D has, what's his lady henchman's name?
I wrote down Maisie. It might
I
not
liked
be right.
Her.
She needed more.
I know she did.
She was barely in it and then she died.
Yeah.
But yeah, she beats the crap out of capital A. But then we find out that come purge night, A is looking to dethrone Dimitri.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It's the Wire.
It's totally the fucking
Dude,
Wire.
Even when we first meet Skeletor, we're at these like it looks like public housing kind of.
Oh,
and
for sure. That
I'm
shot.
Just like, where's that fucking couch? Where's the? I was waiting to see all the kids sitting on the couch talking about chess.
Yeah, talking about chess, talking about pawns. Oh, yeah, we see more stealing, people stealing from a store. So, you know, that's happening. And those people are like, the store owner's there with a gun, and they're like, back up, get out of here. We're just here for your shit.
Yeah.
And they don't kill him.
They don't kill him.
There's not needless killing at first, which I think is, yeah, it's
makes sense.
Common comments I see on these movies. It's like, why is everyone killing? Yeah. Well, they didn't at first.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And
I would just do so much white collar crime.
Yeah,
that,
I've
night.
Seen people be like hack into shit.
Oh yeah,
as if we all know how to hack.
Yeah,
Isaiah is still walking around looking for Skeletor, and he runs into a friend, a drug dealing friend, Kay, and they go to a purge party together.
Yes,
and this is looking bumping as hell. It's a block party with glow sticks and masks.
A lady,
and ass.
Lady dressed up like a leopard.
Oh yeah,
the like one white lady thing. There just yeah. painted up like a leopard.
Yeah, yeah, just hide yourself, lady.
Oh, so funny.
So this is the kind of stuff that you might expect people to actually do on a they're partying,
yeah,
robbing, they're stealing, and
doing drugs.
Yeah, lots of drugs.
Yeah,
and this is what is upsetting the new founding father, chief of staff Aldo, because he's like, we have to kill more.
Yeah,
why aren't
this
they
is
killing
not the results
more?
They were expecting.
Mm-hmm. And at first I was like, why do they care? Why are they saying that if people don't murder each other, it's a failure for the NFFA?
Mm.
And then later he explains his reasoning to Marissa Tomei. There's too many people and they don't want us to raise taxes. So we have to kill people. Taxes or purge.
We never learn, do we? Yeah, he comes right out and says, we're doing this so we can have all the poor people kill each other.
That's literally, and like, again, that was an idea explored in Anarchy in Election Year. Especially by the Big Daddy character, who says we have to like cull the herd, essentially.
Which one's Big Daddy? I'm sorry.
He's in a yeah, because Chelsea just watches these movies once with me. And
yeah,
doesn't pour over every frame like me as I'm counting up these fucking kills. Speaking of which, for the first half of this movie, I was like, no problem. And then the Nazis came.
And the Nazis
came.
Roll in the town.
Fucking Nazis
on, like,
ruin
four
everything.
Wheelers and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No idea how I'm gonna. So Big Daddy is the guy in the back of the semi truck with the fucking.
Yep. Okay.
Gatling gun
got it.
Or whatever the
got
hell.
Got it.
Someone's gonna comment.
I don't. Yeah.
Gatling gun.
We don't care. We really don't care. I'm sorry.
So they're this party's going on, and then Skeletor shows up and ruins
Skeletor
it.
Skeletor ruins,
fucking
the
ruins
party.
Everything because he shows up to this purge block party and just starts stabbing people. He kills three people. I counted them up.
You
it wasn't
did.
Hard. It wasn't difficult. He stabs them,
yeah.
And everyone else runs away. And at the same time while he's doing this, there's an assassination attempt on Dimitri by two hookers that he didn't even want in the first place.
Mm.
He told his buddy, I don't want hookers tonight. I just want to lay low. But they brought him anyway, and they were sent by Capital A,
mm-hmm.
And they try to kill him. And he like, stops them and doesn't kill them. And he's, like, strangling them out, and he's like, who sent you and how much? And it's Capital A a lot.
Yeah.
And then he uses them to trap Capital A, because he...
Yeah, he kind of uses them as bait.
Yeah, because Capital A meets with them and is like, whoa, you did it. Good job. And then they come out with guns, and he's like, no, fuck you. He shoots Capital A and his henchmen, and then he lets the women live.
He tells them to... run away. Basically is like Lion King, like run away,
yeah,
never return
to Staten
Island.
What
Stringer Bell would have murdered those ladies.
Stringer Bell would have, but Dimitri is more moral than Stringer Bell, like you said. And this is part of what makes him a fun character to root for, because it's like, oh,
man's gotta have a code. He's got a code. Yeah,
you know, he killed the guy who tried to usurp him, but he let the ladies live. But he banished them.
Yeah,
sounds like a guy, you know, in this movie to root for. Yeah. I wouldn't be friends with him in real life. I'd be scared.
Yeah.
He's a drug dealer, drug kingpin, but watching a movie and watching him kick ass later, good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff.
Let's see. Oh, so what's the little brother's name?
Isaiah
is freaking out because Skeletor's come for him.
Oh, yeah, because
he
goes
he
to
tries
see Skeletor,
to, yeah.
But he doesn't. He doesn't.
He can't do it.
He doesn't.
He can't
yeah,
do it.
He doesn't have the guts to do it.
Yeah, I think Skeletor knocks his gun out of his hand, so mm-hmm. He runs. And so when he's on the run, he contacts Naya, his sister, to be like, hey, I'm not in Brooklyn.
Yeah. And so this kind of starts the more aimless section of the film.
This is when I started getting... restless,
because yeah. Isaiah's
just people
run
in places,
and you do have the cool imagery because this is when you see like the contacts peering out from dark windows,
yeah,
and, like that shit's
we're
cool.
About to talk about one of the most what the fuck things,
the sewer thing,
yeah. What
oh
the
yeah, that was
fuck?
Explicit, dude.
I okay, So Naya leaves the church to go find her brother. So she's running around on the streets, and she hears a baby crying, yeah. And she's standing over like a sewer grate, mm-hmm. and her leg gets her foot gets ensnared in this thing, and she gets pulled down to the ground, and then she's getting pulled into like this open sewer grate where there's
a guy with a mask.
He
has a mask on, and then he has a baby doll face like over his mouth.
I think it's a gas mask with a baby doll head on it.
Yeah, and it's making this noise.
And it's making like creepy baby sounds.
And then he is just
he's just grabbing her crotch.
He's grabbing her vagina.
It's so weird because right before this scene, I was thinking to myself, I like that the Purge series doesn't have a ton of sexual violence because that's.
There's always the threat of it.
There's always the threat of it, but that's not what the series is about.
Yeah.
And then this happens, and I was like, no, God. He's just like grabbing at her, and then.
Straight up grabbing.
It was
and
so
like,
weird.
It's shown.
It was
just
so uncomfortable.
Grabbing her crotch. It's
and
very uncomfortable.
She
fights back and gets away.
And she says, pussy grabbing motherfucker.
Yeah, as she's running away. She's like, you pussy grabbing motherfucker.
Was that supposed to be.
Yes.
I know, obviously pussy grab, but, like, yeah. The fact that it's, like, a baby head doing it, it's, like, a weird baby grab. Because, like, everyone always, like, kind of calls Trump, like, a man baby.
Oh, I don't know if that's as explicit a connection, but definitely pussy grabbing is definitely, like, a nod.
Well, yeah.
Grab him by the pussy. Yeah, of course. Of course.
I just thought maybe the baby head was like a weird Trump. I don't know.
I don't know about that. I don't know.
It was really weird, though.
It happens in the movie. And,
it was super weird.
I guess. I'm not like upset that it was included. It was like just, uncomfortable with purpose.
Yeah.
It would happen, I guess, in The Purge.
Yeah.
Glad she got away.
Yeah.
Only to be then threatened with rape by Skeletor, who finds her and grabs her.
Yeah.
And Isaiah rescues her, stabs Skeletor in the back. But they run away.
Yeah, he cuts her on the neck too.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
Oh.
They both, yeah.
Also, while Isaiah's hiding out from people, his phone's vibrating. Put that shit on silent, dude. Come on. After Dimitri shoots Capital A and is on his way back to like his place, he's driving with his buddy, and then they get hit by this like flaming truck.
I think it's just a fire truck on fire.
Oh, how ironic.
Or an ambulance on fire, I couldn't tell.
Who fights the fire truck fires? You know?
Yep.
Yeah. So it slams into them, and this is after, like, the NFFA guy is complaining about, like, it will all be deemed a failure if people aren't killing, because mm-hmm. the news reports keep saying, like, it's pretty quiet. People are just kind of partying, mm-hmm. and there hasn't been that many murders. There's also a scene. Because, yeah, there's just a bunch of random
it's
shit
a lot
happening.
Of, it's a lot of... vignettes
so
of
excuse,
stuff.
Yeah, it's vignettes.
Yeah.
But one of the vignettes is this crazy dude in a hazmat suit and a weird mask with like a weird like open mouth
it
kind of thing.
It has teeth around the...
Yeah, it looks
it's
weird.
Real weird. It's cool. There's some cool masks and stuff.
There always
I just
are.
Don't think... Because they show people wearing masks and it's like everyone's got really cool, creepy masks on that look like college... art student
yeah.
final for like they're Festa neat
Fools.
Yes it looks like Festivals in Ann Arbor yeah. But no it would not look this cool in real life. Everyone would just have weird shit from Party City.
Yeah right,
lots of IP like actual characters and stuff.
But this guy like pulls a gun on Isaiah and Naya, and then he like it turns out to be a squirt gun and he squirts him in the face. And it was just so funny because the guy sitting next to me was after the dude used the squirt gun, the guy sitting next to me in the theater was just like, what the fuck? And then Isaiah was like, what the fuck? It was amazing.
Oh, and around this point in the movie, a bunch of white people roll into town on four-wheelers, and that's never a good sign.
Well, they have a white flag with a black cross on it, and that's like...
That's an even worser sign.
Yeah, because this is when, yeah, Dimitri gets hit by that flaming truck, and then when he comes to, it's these people wearing these masks and just shooting the fuck out of people. It's right after they see those two people having sex against.
That's
them.
Right.
There are multiple moments in this movie where I was like, is this going to be the first occurrence of nudity in the Purge series? And like, I don't know if it ever actually was. I think you see a little bit of man ass in that hood fucking?
Oh, yeah, you do.
Okay. I guess that's the first nudity.
Yeah.
But this is the point where my kill counting went out the window because people just start getting shot up a whole bunch by these, what should we call them?
They're mercs.
Sure. That is what they are. They're mercenaries. They're
mercs. Well, because it's weird because there are a bunch of subgroups. There's like Nazis. You got KKK running around.
You got Klansmen in there with like colorful hoods. There were like a bunch red of hoods colors. And shit. That was scary.
I think that is a thing.
Is that a thing?
I think
Holy
so.
Shit. Oh, and they're also said to be Russian, which is
Oh, I didn't catch
yeah,
that.
At one point, they were like, oh, Russian? What the fuck?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Well, yeah, I think it is important to specifically say, like, which characters are mercenaries just because plot.
Okay.
You know, like, that subgroup. I got very confused around this point, too, as to, like, which people were mercenaries. Are all, like, the KKK people also mercenaries?
I believe
like,
so.
They're all paid to
that.
Show up?
Because my, it seems to me as though the point was made that Staten Island is not home to these people.
Yeah.
And that they were set up by the NFFA and paid. And this is what we learn, is that, these mercenaries are like on the NFFA payroll, and Marissa Tomei even backtracks along some security cams.
Yeah, because she's like, why are all these murders happening all of a sudden? This doesn't
her prediction try was that my the violence would happen early and then subside, which
whatever. I don't
what the fuck ever Marissa Tomei.
But yeah, she's like track those trucks backwards, so she kind of goes through all the security cameras and realizes that like
around midnight they all came out of a warehouse driving
yeah.
around.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, yeah, the Aldo is like, yeah, we hired these mercenaries because we need to. And this is when he gets into the whole like purge, lowering the population, the taxes and shit like that. And that's when she's like, what have I done? And then he leaves and he's like, your country will remember you as a hero.
Yeah, you never want to hear that.
You never want to hear that.
No, you don't want to hear that.
Because he leaves her with some guards. And then the next time you see her is on an iPad playing some security footage that Aldo is watching of her like getting thrown out of a van and then just executioned.
Yeah,
like firing
shot.
Squad. Yeah, like a lot. Like yeah, they shoot her once and then just shoot her body a whole bunch. So
yeah,
she did.
Yep.
But,
and again, are we supposed to feel bad for her?
I don't know.
She's a weird character.
Let me know.
Yeah.
So these mercenaries, who I believe are all white people with various hate group insignia on them.
Yeah.
This is when Isaiah and Naya finally get back to the church.
Okay. So this is what I had a feeling was going to happen. Mm-hmm. They get back to their church where Naya was, and they see that there's a bunch of like Nazis running out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's super evocative to me. And I forget which city this was in, the church shooting.
Yeah.
That happened a couple years ago. It's really cool that we can lose track of what cities these things happen in and what year they were in. But yeah, I think as soon as I saw there's the imagery of like this black church and, you know, these mercenaries.
Charleston, that's what
it is. It's Charleston. Okay. Yeah, so these mercenaries, it's just, I think it was kind of an intentional callback to like that violation of community spaces, like black community spaces. And I don't know. I just like had a feeling that we were going there and yep, that sucked.
Yep, they did that.
Yeah. Luckily, they don't show it. Like we see them leaving.
And they shoot a few people out on the steps.
But, yeah.
Like, they never go into the church and see like a whole bunch of bodies.
We
and
don't need to see that.
Yeah.
That's when it's like too real.
Mm-hmm.
We're good. We get what happened. You know, like that's not fun to watch.
The chick from Dexter, LaGuerta from Dexter, and her daughter Selena survived this by like hiding under bodies, they say, which is horrific, but also what I have always planned on doing if I ever found myself in a shooting.
Mm-hmm.
Hide under a body.
Yep. They like say they cover themselves with other people's blood, which is cool. There's, you know, we've interviewed like students who say they've done that to survive shootings.
Yeah.
What a country.
Purge gets real, man. Purge gets real. And so there. So now this pair is with Naya and Isaiah, and they're going back to their apartment, I guess, to just try to be safe there. And meanwhile, Dimitri, who kicked the ass of all the mercenaries who like ran into his car, he like got out, broke one's neck, and then shot the rest of them.
Yeah,
and called his buddies, and
then
like,
that's when they figure out these are all mercenaries.
These are mercenaries. They're not part of the neighborhood. And then it becomes a, like, defending our neighborhood against these invaders, these instigators, mm-hmm. which you brought up.
I think is really important. There's, again, Purge, you do so much cool stuff. You cram so much cool stuff in this movie. You know, maybe the TV show will be good. I don't know if they have more time to explore. But the whole, like, yeah, we got to defend ourselves against these instigators, specifically white military, and, like, you know, it reminded me so much of riot police showing up to protests that started peacefully. The idea of, like, you know, instigating conflict to make peaceful movements appear violent to the larger media, to, like,
yeah, and, like, this has been proven to happen, right?
We know this happens.
Yeah, and not, we're not saying all acts of violence at protests are by plants.
No.
But at least some of them are.
But we, yeah.
Yeah.
This is a thing.
Yeah. Like, I think, like, Operation Wall Street had this going on sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And just pretty much any protest.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, the government doesn't love a peaceful, like civil, like all the stuff that the FBI did to the Black Panthers in, like, the 60s. Oh, it's yeah. fucked up. Go read about that. I don't even want to get into it because it's too complicated. We are sending you home with a lot of homework.
A lot of homework.
But there's a, yeah, we know for a fact that the government tried to make out those movements during the civil rights era to be more violent than they actually
Hoover,
were.
Dude.
Yep.
Fucking
fuck
Hoover.
That guy.
Fuck that guy.
I fucking hate that guy. All right.
Yeah, this is when there's, like, montages of stuff. There's, like, flamethrowers and there's a cop shooting a black guy on a baseball diamond, which was a weird shot.
That was weird.
There's, like, a whole bunch of cops, like,
with the national anthem, I think, playing.
I don't know.
Something.
I don't know. But they get back home and they find blood on the floor, which maybe should have been elaborated on a little bit.
Yeah.
It's like wet blood, and she's like, oh, no, Isaiah cut his neck a few days ago. But obviously, if it's a few
it
days ago, it shouldn't be wet.
Fresh. But yeah, this is like a weird. I don't know what happened there.
I don't know. There's a line somewhere in here about we're under siege from a government that doesn't care about any of us. Just a lot of themes, a lot of thematic stuff happening.
Along the same lines, they find Dimitri and, like, his, like, crew. They find a bunch of weapons. I don't remember where.
They said something about, I didn't catch the line. They said we got a bunch of weapons.
I think it's police stuff.
Maybe.
I don't know. But there's a line about how, like, how can they expect us not to use this stuff when, like, they equip their own.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
There's something.
Line.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So the militarization of police.
Just the constant.
Purge trying to talk about
constant one-upping of, like, yeah.
Yeah. So we never even mentioned the three wise men or whatever.
Oh, no, we didn't.
They're
I liked them.
Characters.
They're straight out of
a
Spike Lee movie.
Yeah. These, like, three bigger, older guys.
Mm-hmm. The three wise men / the three stooges / I forget what else they call themselves.
It was the, yeah, I forget.
Three kings.
The three kings, three wise men, three stooges. Yeah.
I liked them.
They're a lot of fun. They're under attack at one point, and Dimitri and his crew come and save them from these mercenaries who are just all out war at this point, you know. They are, and this is, like, it becomes a bit of a video game stuff with, like, oh, I'm out, take cover, fire,
yeah.
And then smoke grenade comes in. But this is where, like, it's still hard for me to completely buy that this would happen if the truth of this got out. And your argument was that it wouldn't get out because Marissa Tomei was killed. And
no, I think it would get out, but no one would believe it or care.
You think that no one would believe it. I don't know about that. I don't think there's any way that you can say no one would care about, literally, because this is literally Nazi stuff at this point, because the government hired mercenaries are going into this large, like, lower income housing project tower and going floor by floor, kicking down doors and murdering everyone they find.
The FBI, like, did that in the 60s to Black Panther members. Like, that happened, and we know it happened. Like, that shit happens, man.
I don't know the specifics of that, so I can't comment on that. I'll say there's a difference between, and there's a, not to me, maybe, but, like, to the people at large, there would be a difference between Black Panther members who don't deserve to get shot like that, but and like general populace.
Like political affiliation versus these are just civilians.
Just citizens, yeah. So this is where it's a little bit stretching the my suspension of disbelief, is that these government hired mercenaries can go floor by floor. Like, this is
but
Nazi
that's the
stuff.
Thing is,
this
it's
is mass execution
right.
of American citizens by the government.
But the thing is the only people who know that these guys are mercenaries are Marissa Tomei, who is dead.
Who's dead, yeah.
And our main characters, and that's it.
But I feel like the main characters could talk to the ACLU and get that megaphone from
but,
the ACLU.
Like,
and like,
I still think even if they get that out there, you're not going to convince an entire country that that's what happened.
I think you just need to convince 51% of them. I don't know.
Again,
for me,
yeah.
It stretches a little bit.
Sure.
Yeah, it kind of strains it. Because, like, this is fucking mass execution. It's literally the only thing I can compare it to is Nazis, who, or I guess Stalin
are,
shit.
Yeah.
Like, and yeah, this is when they introduce the dude running around in a Nazi coat.
In, like, a leather daddy Nazi outfit.
Yeah. And it's real weird to have him come in this late and then be the big bad guy all of a sudden. But he's leading this group that's going floor by floor,
yeah,
murdering everyone.
Uh-huh.
Just straight up murdering everyone.
I still just think, like, it would be a thing where people wouldn't believe they're mercenaries. People would be like, they're making this up to, like, make...
Sure.
You know, you're making this up to make all, you know, yourselves all look better. You're all
like
just
victims.
Animals. You did it to yourselves. You're playing victim.
Maybe.
You're making it up that it's a government.
Let's hope that this argument stays within the
yeah,
realm of fiction and movies.
For sure.
A bunch of drones appear, and now they have guns, so they murder...
Drones with guns.
Drones with guns. Doot-doot. Drones with guns. Doot-doot. Flying over. Doot-doot. Killing Dimitri's gang.
Oh, no.
Yep, they murder all of Dimitri's gang, except for his buddy, Chevin, who's chilling in a Tommy Jarvis jacket.
I thought he's like, that's a Tommy Jarvis jacket.
Yeah, and who he fist bumps on his way
dying
out to go.
Dying fist bump.
Yeah, I'm going to call Alec more nor that, but Dimitri, like, so all of his gang is murdered, and so he has to John McClane his way through this tower.
Oh, yeah.
On his own with a gun, a rifle of some sort.
I kind of liked this whole sequence.
Yeah,
because it kicks ass.
Yeah, this is why I'm saying Dimitri's a fun character to root for, is I was thinking of this part where he's going through this tower kicking Nazi ass.
Yeah.
And like, there's a stairwell battle where the camera keeps whipping around up and
it's
down.
It's pretty cool.
It's pretty fucking
it's
cool.
It's a good sequence.
And the physicality of this actor.
Oh my god, all the choreography, because it's legit stunt choreography. Like, we're not cutting to make it look like
it's
they're all fighting.
Bullshit Bourne editing.
It's pretty like long takes of him fighting Nazis, and
yeah,
it's really good choreography.
It's cool, man.
Yeah.
It's really
cool
fun
lighting
to
too.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, because and then after that he like cuts the power or whatever, and so it's like
the emergency
strobing
light.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah,
and that is pretty much the lighting for the end stuff here going on, where, you know, Naya and Isaiah and
Dolores,
LaGuardia and Selena, and then Dolores hooks up with them too. The five of them are like hanging out in their apartment on the 14th floor, so like the villains are going up floor by floor.
Mm-hmm.
Dimitri's trying to catch up to them. And, yeah, he just keeps killing people. He winds up, how does he get with them?
What?
Like, in their room?
Oh,
I don't know.
They
do a little bit of defense themselves.
Yeah.
When some people come in and, Naya shoots them with a big, like, Magnum-esque gun that she has. A big hand cannon.
A big gun.
And then, yeah.
Yeah, I think they call it a hand cannon.
They do, yeah. And then Isaiah and, Dolores
just
fucking
knife
stab
him,
the
yeah.
shit out of these Nazis. And then they take their guns, and Dimitri ends up with them.
I forget how. A lot. The end of this movie is kind of a...
Oh, well, he kind of like... He's killing all these other Nazis, and he kills the head Nazi's group, but the head Nazi hides out. And so I think Dimitri's able to get past them and into Naya's room.
Yeah.
But basically, there's like a big showdown. Head Nazi gets reinforcements. They're all shooting stuff. And then...
Grenade launcher?
They start to take out a grenade launcher, and they're saved... Bye.
Oh my god. And then Skeletor shows up behind the Nazis.
Remember Skeletor?
Skeletor.
He was part of this movie at one point.
And Skeletor is the T-Rex of this film because he just saves the day. He like kills the bad guys, not out of any obligation to the good guys, but because they're in his way.
Yeah, he kills a few of them and then he gets gunned down. So you're so Skeletor
for a second
dead.
Like, yay, Skeletor.
And then Big Daddy Nazi is still there with a few other dudes, and Dimitri throws out this C4 that was mentioned earlier in the film, manages to shoot it. He gets shot in the process, but mm-hmm. he shoots it, blows it up. They hide under a mattress, which, whatever.
Sure.
And that's it. They blow up the Nazis, and the purge is over. The sirens blare.
Dimitri and Naya love each other again.
Oh, yeah, that was kind of weird. She was like,
I kind of liked
here.
It.
Yeah.
They're a really attractive couple.
Yeah.
And so they're the end of the movie is they're like all outside and it's daylight because the purge is over and Dolores is like telling everyone to get the fuck out of the way.
Oh yeah. These are the lines from Dolores where I'm like,
all right, Dolores.
I love this character so much. Yeah. Make way, big dog of the project's coming through. Or like, no, when he first joins up with them in the apartment, she's like, oh, Dimitri, big head drug dealer of this neighborhood, and Naya. Like, she's just like, exposition. It's not great.
Yeah. But, yep, that's the end of the movie. And they say, what do we do now? We fight.
And I said, at the polls. At the ballot box.
Yeah.
But right after the credits start, you see Aldo giving a press conference and saying that the Purge was such a success that next year they're expanding it to the whole country.
Yay.
And that gives us the series of the Purge. That's the Purge series. The first Purge.
First Purge.
So yeah. It's fine.
It's weird how such a meh movie gives us so much to talk about.
Yeah, this is a long one.
Yeah, this is a long review. Such weird movies these are.
I'm fine with them. I'll watch them. This is going to be it's going to be a bitch to kill count. They always are. I hate it. I hate frame by framing, dude.
I mean, at least the KKK had different colors on, so maybe that makes it a little easier.
I don't know. There's so much like smoky shootouts in this movie. It's going to be so annoying.
Yep.
But I'll cover it when it comes out on Blu-ray. Don't ask for it before. You know the fucking rules. I don't even have to say that to the podcast listeners. They're better. See, the trick is that anyone listening to this,
they're
that applies
podcast
to them.
Listener.
Yeah, so they shouldn't complain about it. No, but the podcast audience tends
I know. That's
to
why
not.
I feel a little more comfortable talking about, like, you know, some nuanced shit on this podcast and some, you know, tough stuff.
Yeah,
social,
I'm assuming you're
political. You know,
even if you're not, even if you don't agree with our beliefs,
you're not
going
to like be a huge dick.
Yeah. You're open minded enough to hear us out, because that was a lot of responses to the Final Girl episode. People who were like, you know what? I didn't necessarily agree with everything you said, but it was interesting to hear.
Yeah.
Which,
and like, great.
That's
what I want to hear.
Yep. That's the dialogue
that we're all
missing in this country that we would like to have. So,
yeah.
Hopefully you enjoyed our commentary on this. Again, no way to discuss these movies without delving into the
it would be a terrible review if
we
should get our podcast taken away if we were just like not talking about that.
Yeah, sidestepping all that shit.
Yeah,
we won't do that. We address shit head on.
And give you homework.
Yeah,
American history homework.
Tuskegee
and
incident.
Fred Hampton and the Black Panthers.
Yep, have fun with all that. Anything
cool
else
country.
To mention?
No. We can say where to find us.
Oh, sure. Find Dead Meat on Twitter and Instagram at Dead Meat James, and on YouTube.
Yeah.
Fucking already subscribed.
I'm Carebeck, CAREBECC on Twitter and Instagram. DeadMeatStore.com for merch.
DeadMeatPod@gmail.
DeadMeatPod@gmail.
Email us.
Yeah.
Chelsea always checks out those emails.
Yep. I try and respond to them.
She's like much better with that email than I am with Dead Meat James or Dead Meat Movies. Which is
An email?
I set up an email for people to specifically make requests. And when I first set it up, I tried to respond and always be like, thank you. But they just never stopped coming, Chelsea.
I know.
They never stopped coming. There's so many unread requests in there, but maybe one day I'll get to them. But in the meantime, we'll keep releasing these podcasts every week, so tune in next Tuesday for a movie review with a friend of ours. It'll be a good one. And in the make sure you rate and review us on iTunes or whatever app you use.
Yep.
But until all that, I'm James.
I'm Chelsea.
And this has been the Dead Meat Podcast.